The AccuWeather forecast, it'll be increasingly cloudy today. We'll have a high of about 28. Changes to cable service laws in Wisconsin made a few years ago by the legislature have effectively neutered local control. And while the proposed ordinance amendment in Racine would eliminate the city's dormant cable commission, a number of the aldermen feel it ought to continue. Alderman Sandy Widener saying despite what has happened, having a cable commission is still important.
You know, it's kind of like my neighborhood watch meeting that we've had for the last 16 years. In order to keep our space, sometimes we only have two people attending for a year, but we still keep that committee going in case there's a need for that. Once we disband a committee and try to revive it, it just doesn't work, and that's what I'm concerned will happen here with the cable commission like it happened with the Committee on Housing and Neighborhoods.
City Administrator Tom Friedel noted that the public still has ways of voicing concerns or questions about the cable operation through government channels.
We really don't have much. The state of Wisconsin has decided that they're in control of this. We have very little leverage with them and very little that we can do other than probably approach the state and ask them to intercede if we have a dispute.
The matter deferred pending more consideration of keeping a cable oversight group with amended language in the ordinance, even though the city's IT office has jurisdiction of CAR 25. It's a policy that governs the use of social media by Kenosha County employees. It was approved last night by the county board. Supervisor Terry Rose saying that for the first time, county government is using social media as an extension of the current website to get information out to residents.
This is not for chatting back and forth. It's not for the promotion of your personal interests, be they in government or outside, but it's an official type of communication to the general public associated with your position in county government.
Responding to one comment about freedom of speech, Rose said that the policy does not violate the First Amendment rights of county employees. Media giant Gannett, meanwhile, finalizing a deal to buy Journal Media Group for more than $250 million. The company that publishes USA Today and a number of other major papers is going to pay $280 million for more than a dozen daily newspapers. 178-year-old Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is one of them. The sale also includes Journal Media's 18 weekly papers and websites in 14 U.S. markets across 9 states. And more Americans finding jobs in the private sector, according to the ADP employment report for the month of February. It shows companies hired 214,000 new workers last month. That figure better than economists had expected, but almost all of the new positions were in the services sector. Small and medium-sized firms adding the most jobs in the month of February. Caledonia's Village Board will have a special meeting tonight, the focus on education. 6 o'clock is the gathering at the Eastside Community Center. It'll start with a presentation about Racine County's master education plan, and from there the board is scheduled to discuss, possibly even take action on a resolution in support of that plan. The agenda notes, however, that public comment will not be taken at tonight's meeting. A second federal investigation focusing on possible civil rights violations at Lincoln Hills School for Boys and Cooper Lake School for Girls is now under consideration. U.S. Attorney John Vaudreuil says federal agents are going to be looking for evidence that the constitutional rights of juvenile inmates had been violated. A criminal investigation already underway by the FBI into allegations of abuse at that facility. That's among the concerns raised by a Racine County judge in a letter to Governor Walker. That letter, though, diverted to the Department of Corrections. A convicted sex offender is moving from Pleasant Prairie into the city of Kenosha, which is prompting a notification from the police department. 45-year-old Eric Sanders, coming out of prison back in March of 2007 after doing a sentence for 3 counts of first-degree sexual assault of a child. He's lived in Pleasant Prairie ever since that point. Now he wants to move into a home within a mile radius of 52nd Street and 22nd Avenue. He would remain on electronic monitoring, and he has to comply with standard sex offender rules, according to police. Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley says if taxpayers are opposed to spending as much as $75 million to repair the Mitchell Park domes, well, he's willing to tear them down, calling it a realistic option in an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Abley's opponent in the upcoming election, State Senator Chris Larson, says he supports the repairs but feels they can be done for about $45 million, claiming that Abley's administration has not properly maintained them. Despite a lack of knowledge hesitancy by some Racine aldermen, the Committee of the Whole recommends that the full council support a resolution opposing the extension of American trade policies, which it labels disastrous. The author of the resolution is 11th District Alderman Mary Lamb, who claims that she was affected twice by NAFTA.
It was determined that I lost my job because of NAFTA, and I was provided with trade adjustment compensation. After again gaining gainful employment, in 2007, my entire plant was closed and leveled, and it was determined that those manufacturing jobs also went to Mexico because of NAFTA, and everyone was given trade adjustment compensation from the federal government.
Alderman Terry McCarthy, though, said it's an issue beyond the council's jurisdiction.
I feel it's inappropriate for us to consider this motion due to its lack of direct impact on the city from the perspective of our being able to control it in any fashion. I believe this opens us up to these going on and on and on in the future for things that are less and less related to the council's business. As such, I am completely against considering this at this time.
Alderman Sandy Widener called it a confusing issue, while Ray DeHaan in support said it makes a statement. The vote, 9-5, to advance the resolution to the full council. A handful of bills signed into law by Governor Scott Walker specifically affecting tax incremental financing districts. One of them, Senate Bill 51. It requires a municipality to always convene a standing joint review board in creating TID districts. The JRB, as it's known, would remain in existence the entire time that a district exists, while meeting annually to review the performance and the status of each existing TID. Now, in Racine, the city is in the process of setting up another tax incremental district, number 19, but also moving to end number 16, both of those related to the uptown area. No discussion last night as the Racine Common Council approves the Finance Committee's recommendation to support contract reopener pay raises for police officers. It was a clause in the 2015-17 collective bargaining agreement approved last fall by the council. Officers in the union will receive a total 2% pay increase between this July 1st and July 1st of next year. Savings created with step schedule changes for new hires, that will allow all officers to additionally get a total of 15 cents more per hour between July 1st this year and July 1st, 2017. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department is scheduled to hold a public auction a week from today on a home that was taken in a foreclosure proceeding. It's on 31st Street in Bristol, the home that belonged to the parents of Andrew Obregon. He's in jail on multiple felony charges from last fall's crime spree in Kenosha and a part of Racine County, which included a homicide. Obregon's mother, Ruth, herself got into some trouble during her son's efforts to avoid capture, given probation for helping him. The auction listing a three-bedroom house plus an 1,800-square-foot barn on almost 6.4 acres of land. Well, there's a trade-off for protecting Wisconsinites against tax fraud. Revenue Secretary Rick Chandler says it can mean delays on your refunds.
We explain to people it may take a little longer because we're doing all these checks and people think that's a good idea and appreciate the fact that we're trying to prevent the fraud. We want to be just as vigilant as possible because we know there are more and more attempts being made all the time.
If your tax return is not flagged for screening, says Chandler, then your refund should be sent out in less than a week. And Whole Foods Market is recalling Maytag raw milk blue cheese for possible listeria contamination. The cheese is sold around the country. It is labeled Maytag Blue Raw Milk, Maytag Blue, or Maytag Iowa Blue Cheese. It has sell dates by January 20th and March 21st. Companies asking customers to throw it out, bring in the receipt if you have it, for a refund. The Racine Common Council will reconsider a previous denial to rezoning for a proposed CVS pharmacy at Ohio Street and Washington Avenue. That recommendation made at last night's Committee of the Whole meeting. Alderman Ron Hart, though, wondering why this was being dredged up again.
CVS obviously is not interested in coming back, or they would have pursued it again. We voted this down two or three times already. Let's quit wasting our time and move on. Let's let somebody else try to get that property if they want it. Quit playing games here, for crying out loud.
Alderman Henry Perez, though, suggesting this is a chance for redemption.
You know, we're talking about being business friendly, and we say we are business friendly. Well, let's put some meat behind some of these things. And those comments that were made previously about, you know, CVS being a bully and minimum wage jobs, those are ridiculous. They want to come to our community. They want to invest in our community. It's a $4 million investment. They're not asking for any kind of money from us. They're going to make the corner safer.
That committee of the whole vote was 8-6 to recommend reconsideration at the next council meeting. And if approved, then a three-quarters vote would be needed on a zoning ordinance per state statute. In Milwaukee, officials moving ahead with a plan to address panhandling in the city. The Common Council there approving a measure to establish the Keep the Change program, which would aim to reduce the number of panhandlers and provide meaningful support for those truly affected by homelessness. Concerns about coyotes in one Madison neighborhood prompting a dog owner there there to take some extra measures in protecting her beloved pet. Krista Kuhman says a friend previously spotted coyotes in her yard, and her daughter nearly hit one with her vehicle a couple of weeks back. It led to a purchase from a company called Coyote Vest Pet Body Armor. Their website says it's kind of like a Kevlar vest that a soldier or a law enforcement officer might wear. Coyote concerns, of course, prompting meetings with DNR officials lately about the animals, including one this past Monday night in Mount Pleasant. Our AccuWeather forecast coming up. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.